what it is now.
Okay. It's fine. I got nothing to contribute. I don't even watch the movie.
So we got a lie.
Surprise. You watched it.
It's a lie.
I did. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
So, Tony, I have some amazing news. Adam is here this week, so I don't have to do this shit.
What shit?
Try to make up some fucking story at the beginning of this.
Yeah, the story he made up last time was like, I went to lunch today. It was tasty. That wasn't it, but that was kind of it.
It was pretty close.
You know what the best part about this is?
We did work out his entire outfit for our con last week.
The best part about this is, you have brought the story, and this is it.
That is so meta.
I hope I didn't get your hopes up because Oscar Mayer would not get back to me about Sausage Fest.
Ugh, dicks.
Yeah. I know.
That's okay. We can say that now because by the time this is released, Sausage Fest is over. But we will still take donations. If people want to give money, we will take donations till the end of
October. Did you talk to Mr. Mayer?
They did not respond to me on Twitter.
Oh, Mr. Mayer donated.
So you sent an official request.
But not that Mayer.
My experience is if somebody will respond to you, they will respond to you on Twitter. Like, I had a problem with Airbnb where...
Oh, I saw the review.
Oh, my God.
It's outrageous.
I saw the review of your review.
That, was so
that guy gave your review 1 star.
And
I think he was trying to get marijuana from...
They got back to me in, like, a minute.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, this review is so dumb.
Alex made it unsafe for my housekeeper, so I had no choice but to limit their interaction with him after he told them about the smell of marijuana and then asked to purchase marijuana. It was then that we thought that he was trying to purchase marijuana. Like,
so, real quick, neither of those things happened. We complained about the smell of marijuana, not to the housekeepers or to them, just amongst ourselves.
You didn't complain to them?
No. What the fuck are they going to do? They were probably the ones smoking pot in the house right before we got there.
But how did they know? Then who told them about the...
Oh, they had it mic'd.
They know from the review.
Yeah, the cameras.
It's
right.
Yeah.
From the cameras.
Also, Alex, you're going to have to pee a lot during this trip. You should probably see a doctor about that.
You probably don't want to Google Airbnb porn.
Yeah.
By the way.
That has got to be a thing.
Why wouldn't it?
I'm sure it is. God, who is... Strip Search, which is a... comic strip competition.
Not... I don't know what it is, okay. Alex. I'm hip. I know what the young all people right. are doing.
That with house that they filmed strip searches. The previous thing it was rented for was a porn shoot. They talked about it
you,
extensively
Alex.
On the show.
That makes sense.
There are not a lot of homes you go into where it has not been like a porn shoot.
Yeah.
At some point.
It's deep.
There's probably been a dead body in there too.
Yeah.
Just fucking everywhere. 7 billion people.
It's like my ship of corpses.
It's like your ship of corpses and space engineers. The best part about space engineers, so it's like another one of the creative games where like the game is what you make out of it.
Sure.
So Kayla's played for like 10 minutes and she created a ship of corpses and then stopped playing. It's like the most terrifying conclusion
like
to a sandbox game that's ever been.
Did she just play Tales of the Black Freighter without actually knowing what that
yeah.
is?
I still liked mine. I crashed into a fucking asteroid. And then I didn't realize that in the crash, I broke my oxygen generator thing until I ran out of oxygen. So then I just sat there, like, dying.
Waiting to die.
Repeatedly. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, I can't do anything.
Welcome to space travel, Alex. Doesn't seem so fancy now, does it?
It's dangerous business.
Like, eventually it respawned me in a new ship. I'm like, I need to do more tutorials. I don't know what I'm doing.
I ejected myself from my ship on accident. And I just floated in the blackness of space until Adam came and saved me. And then I died a million times.
So first you play Tales from the Black Freighter. Then you play Gravity, the video game.
Yeah. Bless you.
Then it became Event Horizon.
Oh
man, Space Engineers is so fucking good. I'm thinking about it now, just like remembering it as a fond memory. I had to stop playing until they released their new Planets expansion because they like did a development freeze or they just do bug fixes before they release Planets. Well, one of the things that they added before they did the development freeze was they made the like thrust to weight ratio like realistic.
Ooh!
So all of my ships didn't work and I was like, god damn it.
Fucking physics.
Yeah, and then like I made the ship work, and then I would go mining, and then after my ship was full of ore, it had gained enough mass that my ship stopped working again. And I'm like, God damn it. Space is the fucking worst. And so I know when they add planets, like I want to not be able to go to the planet. Because none of my ships will work.
Oh, no. They'll get to the planet.
I just won't be able to survive the landing.
Mark Watney, you are not.
I know. I'm not Mark Watney. I read an article about how awesome the movie's going to be. I'm really stoked for it now.
Yeah, I was talking earlier this evening. I was like, yeah, we're doing this the week after. Not immediately after Archon, but the week after that. And Julie said, oh, I want to go see that. Oh, yeah. I guess I can't see it next Thursday night then.
Oh, are we going to do that? We should.
I was thinking about it.
Oh, shit. Well, you can't go now.
Well, I mean, doesn't mean I can't.
Yeah. I'm off on Friday.
I'm off on Thursday and Friday.
Well, Tony, I don't have your off on Thursday, Friday privilege.
And Monday.
I tried to take Monday off, and it did not work.
That is more necessary than Friday.
I know. But then I took Tuesday and Wednesday off.
What?
Friday, Monday at work, Tuesday was just a whole... When like the surgery is that Tuesday.
Oh.
Oh, really?
They wouldn't let you take Monday off?
No, Ben is already gone.
So?
Ben and the other guy are already gone.
Oh.
And I was Monday.
I'll just go in and not do anything. It's fine.
Just tell them to hire more people.
We have a new guy. Sundar.
I want to see you in a man bun.
Isn't this a man bun?
No, it's just.
Well, I'm cutting my hair. Don't worry.
Well, it kind of. Well, maybe it half is.
It has to go more up.
Mm-hmm. Your top knot.
Listen, my hair is too. long, straight, you know, and luxurious to really stay in a knot like that. It's just.
I have to shave the sides of my head so I don't have a top knot. Well, I mean, I do have one, but just
a little one. I like the shorter ones though, like the. Points of the hair come right out of the hair tie. That's my preferred length.
That's what my hair short looks like tie. In the morning because I put it in a ponytail when I go to sleep.
Is this really what we've devolved into?
What?
Alex, it's because you don't have cool hair.
Right.
I don't.
Remember when you had cool hair, Alex?
This is my preferred hair length right here. Because it's like washcloth. Boom. Done. Ready to go.
Preferred?
I need to.
Or enforced?
No. Because the rest of this still grows. This, I got no control over. This I can make be really unfortunate looking.
Make be really unfortunate looking.
Just grow it out.
Yeah.
Trumpet.
Just commit.
No.
Just commit straight from the back forward.
No, that is never gonna happen.
But it could
have. Shave it all off again.
If it did, you could run for president.
I'd start talking crazy, maybe.
What's the difference? What? You're either lying to me or talking crazy, so what's the difference?
Yeah, I guess. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Austin.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is Lena.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers, and we are...
Not playing Sins of a Solar Empire, Tony.
Which is unfortunate.
What is this game? I'm not familiar with it.
It's Forever.
What is it? What type of game is it?
Real-time strategy in space.
So,
Yeah.
There's like a whole PvP mechanic to it. That I've never gotten into because playing against people is hard. So we usually just like play with each other and then against bots. And you just try
the
to.
The last time we played, Adam and I didn't see Alex the entire game.
It was like an 8-person thing with like 5 bots. And like Alex killed like 4 bots.
I was
just fucking trapped by these 2 bots. They were separated in the middle
of
the
world. Is this a Steam game or?
Yeah.
It's the Rebellion is the one that we were playing. And Adam and Kayla were sitting next to each other on their star. And I zoomed out. I'm on my own fucking star. So that means it's me and 4 other bots in this one place. So I spent the entire game trying to live. And then I finally got a foothold and... steamrolled my entire solar system.
What somehow. I didn't tell Alex and Kayla is for the first 2 hours of the game, I had forgotten how to play. Because it had been a while since I played it. And then...
Oh, this is an old game.
Yeah.
I was not familiar with it.
It became very apparent at the end of the game when you started looking at like the graphs. Like, you're like wasted money due to inefficiency. There were no other lines. Like, all the other lines on the graph were compressed. Yeah. Boom! Topped it.
Nobody else lost money.
First in wasted resources.
Well, this game is like 6 years old and $40.
It's a really good game.
Is it 6 years old?
If you play with us,
2008.
If you play with us, you don't have to buy the expansion.
The initial release of Sins of a Solar Empire is February 4th, 2008.
So there are two that I know of. There's Rebellion and there's the other one. Rebellion Trinity. Is the newer one.
Make sure you're looking at Rebellion and not Trinity.
That's a lot of fun. Also, we played that until like...
And then there's Forbidden World DLC.
Yeah, the...
DLC.
I bought all the DLC. Will you play with the DLC?
Hey, watch your mouth.
I like new planet types.
Yeah, Rebellion on Steam.
$39.99. Yeah,
$39.99. Tell me. It usually goes on sale for pretty cheap.
I thought we would play a game and then watch Avatar, but then it turned into 2 o'clock in the morning.
And we're just like wrapping up.
Yeah.
It escalated quickly.
Was that when I came over?
The DLC isn't very expensive, though, it looks like.
No.
$5.
There's 2 of them.
Stellar Phenomenon and Forbidden Worlds.
Yeah, so the Forbidden Worlds one gives you a bunch of new planets, and I think you get a few more research things in there.
Hmm. Did we play with that?
Yeah.
Oh, was that where the Ferris planets came from?
Yeah, and the oceanic ones and stuff.
Mm.
And then the other one, I think, introduces a bunch of random events that can happen. Like, your planet will randomly be hit by, like, giant solar flare.
To buy a new game now.
You don't have to, Tony, but you will.
It's an RTS, but I probably will. As soon as I buy it, you fuckers will stop playing it, too.
I'm not.
That's how that works.
First off, it's a game that's 6 years old. The only reason we started playing
was
because we were, like, at a Sonic after Taste of St. Louis talking about everything, and then we just latched on to it, and then it became the thing that we had to do right then.
Yep.
For 8 hours.
For 8 hours.
But we conquered that solar system. I commit mass genocides against all the tech. The Vasari do not like you guys, the tech.
That's fine.
Except you were on my team, so I didn't kill you.
We didn't like each other either, but we were fighting right
the entire game.
I did. I shot his planet with my Novolith cannon.
I'd do it again.
So the,
I have no regrets.
One of the big problems in this game is there's like an ultimate weapon that people get, and you can shoot it like between solar systems.
It just takes fucking forever.
It takes forever. So what can happen is someone else, like someone on your team, could take over a planet, and then the weapon that you shot 10 minutes ago can hit it. I just took over this planet, started building stuff up, and then I see this little red dot coming in from the side.
Because you can see it. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about
it. My Kayla, no! Fuck! I just got it.
Take it up with our lawyers.
That's just payback from that time in metagame when you got her on the Coke thing. That was still my favorite gaming moment probably the last year.
And I've tried to tell that story to people. No. It's like, it's so hard to get them to understand just how perfect that moment was.
It was good. It was good really game. Good.
I was so happy to see you have that Coke in your hand and play against me. I'm like, I have won.
So how many decks of Star Realms do you have?
One.
Okay. Because Sam's got 3.
I know.
I've got 1. Artemis has a couple. So there's going to be like 7 Star Realms decks between all of us.
So it's like the way you're supposed to play that, if you play a multiplayer, you can only attack the person to your left.
Yeah.
So you just...
That's how you do it in Magic.
I can't play games like that.
Is that how you do it in Magic?
There's different rules. There's different rules.
I attack everyone.
That you can't.
That's
do
King
that.
Of Tokyo.
That's tough. That is tough to manage.
So there, yeah, the in Commander you can attack anybody, and like two-headed giant, you can pick who you're attacking.
But there's a variant that you just play around the table.
Yeah.
That's what we play. That when we played last year at Archon, that's what we played.
Which is super challenging because you have to pay attention to what both those people have. Because you're like, okay, I have to defend against this guy, and I have to attack this
and
guy.
And if this guy doesn't have anything, you're going to get annihilated.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to lay waste to you.
What?
I play with a sliver deck in Magic, so... I'm sorry. I want to play Magic. I'm going to play Magic at Archon.
I don't want to play Magic.
I'll bring my cards.
I don't know how to play card games. You haven't
played. You're going to play fucking Magic.
Are you going to play fucking Star Realms?
Probably.
Well.
Maybe.
Bullshit. Listen, I'm going to get talking to you. Let you build a deck out of my extra cards. I have like... a box this long of extra cards.
Sweet.
Because if they're at slivers, I don't care.
Fuck them.
All right, what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking about Chef.
Chef, and then the week after that, we are
Chef, is that a movie about the character from South Park?
No, it's about the Swedish Chef.
The Muppet, yeah.
Oh, the Muppet?
Yes.
You know, I've always wondered if the Swedish Chef from the Muppets is, like, super racist, but nobody knows and nobody cares because he's Swedish.
Hold on.
Just everybody because he's Swedish?
Yeah.
You know,
everybody knows. The next question is, why is it okay? I think it's just one of those tacit agreements where everybody's like, yeah, we all know this is fucking racist, but we're all gonna not say anything because it's the Muppets.
Yeah, we're gonna teach kids some ABCs.
And they can get
people
away
are really
murder.
Pissed off at the Muppets right now.
Yeah, those people are wrong.
Mm-hmm. They are wrong.
Because have you seen it?
I watched it last night.
I watched it last night,
I didn't
night
see
too.
The episode.
I didn't know what it was funny. Until I saw the commercial. It so it's 30 Rock with Muppets.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
It completely.
You know, I still want Mad Max Muppets. Like, my test photo that I use at work now is a Mad Max Muppet painting that somebody made.
I ordered you the print of that. It's like 8x8. You better have a huge fucking wall for it.
8x8?
Yeah.
You've seen the wall in my living room.
I know. That's why I got you such a big piece.
It's like 30 feet to the ceiling.
It cost me $5,000. It's the most expensive joke present I've ever bought. I have no regrets.
We have a 4x6 print where they might be giants. It's their giant pink monster truck. And we went to go see how much it would cost to get it framed. It was like $600 to get it framed.
So you got it framed?
Nope. It's sitting in a poster tube. Waiting on $600 to appear.
But yeah, Muppets was good. Muppets was very much 30 Rock with Muppets.
You know,
people are pissed off because it's...
I enjoy it.
Like, because it really it's is. Because it's not Sesame Street, but the Muppets were never that.
They never were.
And like at one point, Kermit even says, hell, scandal.
You can't say that word.
Yeah, they would call him on it. They're like, you can't say that. You can't say hell.
But that's like the literal name of a place in Michigan.
What time
and
did
also
it?
A biblical place.
What time did it?
And a Norse
seven,
god.
7 o'clock.
Yeah,
seven?
It was like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Loki's daughter.
Just saying. Somebody had sex with that guy?
He
probably rapes.
Why not?
He seems like he would.
Dude, it's Tom.
Listen, she releases him from the cave with the snake drips poison into his face for like 100 years, and that's what starts Ragnarok.
Boom.
You just got Norsed.
So I think somebody else needs to get the nerd song this time.
What?
I can't
do it to Adam.
What, being well read is somehow a crime now? Edith Hamilton, mythology. That was all Greek and Roman gods, so that had nothing to do with this.
Is Fallout considered mythology?
No.
Damn it. No. All right.
Is Skyrim considered mythology?
No. Depends. Are you going to do shouts here at the table?
Fucking wish.
Blast you right out the back door.
Are you only going to do the shout that moves you forward just slightly bit faster? Because that's the only one I ever used.
Oh, the whirlwind.
Unless
spent.
I accidentally use Fusro Da in the middle of a marketplace.
Yeah, and then the guards come.
No,
son
sorry.
Of a bitch.
We've asked you to stop doing that.
I fucking sneezed. I'm so sorry.
That's why I kept the whirlwind sprint hotkeyed.
Yes.
So that I didn't Fusrodo.
God damn it. I saved this fucking town from a dragon. All right? Can you guys just leave me alone
just
about the shouts?
Just because I accidentally murder someone with a shout. Get all pissy about it.
What was worse for me with the whirlwind sprint is sometimes you just run off a wall and you have like a second in the air where you're like, God damn it.
Again.
I just fucking walked all the way up these stairs in Whiterun. I gotta do it again.
Yeah.
Come on. Why are you walking up the stairs? Why wouldn't you just fast travel?
To the top of the...
Yeah, you can fast travel to Dragon's Reach.
Can you?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Alex.
This has
Alex,
been a while.
Come on now.
Think of all those 5-minute increments where you were running up those stairs like 100 million times.
I played this game on the PS3. Think of all the crazy bugs I got to experience.
Yeah, I don't
fucking wanna... mammoths walking through the sky, and I'm like, oh, there must be a mountain there that hasn't loaded yet. And then they start falling to Earth like the gravity just kicked in.
Yeah, that's how physics works. It doesn't work until it does.
just like space engineers.
Yeah. It doesn't work until it does. That's exactly my experience. I've actually been getting into drones because I'm trying to build an autonomous mining drone using like the in-game programming, and then like you can set up a series of actions and stuff. So I'm trying to get it to mine and then come back and drop off the ore and then go back. It's not working out very well for me.
You haven't found the tobacco mine to really...
I haven't yet. I've seen some other people's designs, and like they don't seem automated enough for me. Like, I don't want to have to do anything. I just want it to go do things and then come back. I don't want to do any work. I'm spending a lot of time and effort into not spending a lot of time working.
It's fair.
All right, so let's talk about this movie.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Don't Tequila Mockingbird me.
Maybe I need some tequila to talk about this movie.
Tony, this movie was like 8 hours long.
It was slow.
It was a miniseries on NBC. It was the Shogun miniseries on NBC. Remember this? Like in the mid-90s? Yeah, oh, I remember. James Clavell's Shogun. I could never get past that dancing scene with...
I don't think I watched that far.
Him and... What's his face? Was it Mifune? Might have been Mifune.
Might have been.
Everything's Mifune to me. So, anyway, this movie was forever.
I was led to believe that this was a movie about a court case. That took 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Man, that is not at all what the movie was about.
It's kind of what the movie was about, right?
No. I mean, there was a lot of lead up to it. And then, like, a scene of the court case. And then it was over. And then there was another 20 minutes after that.
This is...
I wasn't impressed by this.
It was less just a movie about the court case and more a movie about Scout.
Right.
Yeah, so this is the problem with the movie. This movie is the exact example people should use when they tell writers to show and not tell. Because it's like, oh, there's this other interesting story over there, but we're going to tell it through the perspective of kids who have nothing to do with that interesting story. Why are we doing that? Why is this the case?
We're going to tell Star Wars through the lens of the bartender in Mos Eisley.
These dudes came into a bar, and then later the Death Star blew up. It's been a crazy week.
That's
God damn it.
Yeah.
Spoiler, Alex, the Death Star blows up.
Yeah. I got that from the previews.
Actually, I know why the movie is structured that way. Because it's like a biography of Harper, an autobiography of Harper Lee.
Right.
And her experiences with her dad, who was a lawyer, who did something similar to this. But that doesn't mean it's entertaining to fucking watch. Because it did
drag a bit. So whenever I watched this in, like, I don't know, 8th or 9th grade, after I read the book, I couldn't remember everything very well, but I remembered that I didn't hate this movie, and I still don't hate this movie after watching it again. There are some slow parts to it, but I feel like I can forgive it because I know how old the movie is, and...
The work stands alone, Alex.
What?
The work stands alone.
Like, I really enjoy the story, and I really like the acting and the characters. Like, I don't know. It's easy for me to work with this movie.
I do want to read the book. I didn't get to read the book. And now I kind of want to read the other book, which is
I've heard that Way Lies Madness.
Yeah, that's why we hate Harper Lee now.
She may have had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently,
I thought we hated the book publishers.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know anything about it.
The half stories that I've read about this lead me to believe that Harper Lee wrote To Set a Watchman first,
mm-hmm.
and then wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, it was kind of an adjustment, and a rewrite.
One of them was edited, and the other one wasn't. And the publishers across the board said, "To Set a Watchman is not a good book," but we really want To Kill a Mockingbird. And so they released it, and it was almost instantaneously a hit in the publishing world.
Yep.
But she kept trying to sell them on the fact that, well, you know, To Set a Watchman was the first book. It's like, yeah, but it's not good. So they just kind of set it aside and didn't do anything with it. Until a couple of years ago, somebody decided that they were going to publish the book. The truth about who that decision was made by is obfuscated in depending on whose story you listen to. Some people say it was Harper Lee was fully behind it. Some people say she has absolutely nothing to do with it. She's got dementia and isn't even aware that the book's been published.
Her sister was her caretaker. Her sister died like 2 or 3 years ago.
And they think that's when everything happened because his sister couldn't stop it from happening.
Right, right. So, like, somebody's kids... Man, what a bitch
for dying.
Somebody's kids, whoever is in charge of the estate, pushed to get it published. Yeah, and the publishers are like...
But didn't she wanted to get it published to begin with, right?
She did, but there was apparently absolutely no editorial review on it. Like, once the publishers got a hold of it, they just churned it out.
Yeah, Tony, you don't editorially review the chick who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
But you probably...
This is why we have the prequels.
They probably...
No editorial review on George Lucas.
That's exactly right.
I know. Plinkett told me.
One thing I thought was interesting when I was reading up about it a little bit after was the little Truman Capote side story. Because I really didn't know anything about her. She grew up with Truman Capote, who is partially that little whack boy character, Dill.
Dill is a dill.
That yes, kid was fucking creepy. But he has the face of a 40-year-old man.
And he lied through his teeth.
He's basically Truman Capote, just without a lisp.
Listen, you say Truman Capote, I can only picture Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well, think of him as a little boy with a lisp imagination.
I haven't even seen the movie.
What?
Capote.
No, I didn't see it either.
I know, but I can only see Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's got a very affected voice. Very.
Wait, with an A or an E?
I think it's an A.
I know which one it is.
It's A.
I think it's A, yeah. I'm going to get carsick on the way home, and you're going to suffer for it.
My car already smells like popcorn chicken.
That's fantastic.
Rather popcorn chicken.
Is it
chicken?
A bad thing?
That was just a statement.
Cheese stands alone. What did you think of the movie?
It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but I did not like it.
Ringing endorsement.
That deserves a slap.
Solid. Solid review.
Didn't suck.
And
there's
cut it off.
Tap out now before you have a chance to mess with that gold.
This is not a movie for you to watch unless you want to watch a movie.
If you want to watch Project on it afterwards. 17th
best movie of all time.
Is it?
It's on their top 25.
I think it's a good movie. It
isn't a good movie for people who like to
enjoy
movies. Avengers.
No.
If the Avengers is your type of movie that you exclusively want to see, do not see To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's not there for you to sit back and be entertained.
Right.
I disagree with that. My biggest problem with the movie came in my expectation of what the movie was about, because I was expecting something more procedural.
Where did that expectation come from, by the way?
Law and Order.
Was it like
because
tell me I'm wrong.
Just the little bits of the movie that I've heard that it's about Gregory Peck being an attorney, Atticus Finch, and it's like I have no reference for the names Scout, Atticus, and Boo Radley. I mean, I know they are characters in the story. Mm-hmm. I've never read the book.
Oh, I have a fantastic Boo Radley story. Now,
I thought the same thing as you. I thought it was going to be mostly courtroom. I know the basic storyline. I knew nothing about it. Didn't read the book. Had never seen the movie. Didn't even know that there was a son. I knew Scout. And I even forgot there was a Boo Radley.
Sounds to me like the problem was your guys' expectations.
Well, my expectations knew pretty quickly that my expectations weren't going to be met, and this was going to be a movie focusing on the kids. Then my problem became, why couldn't you have gotten better child actors?
And honestly, Scout, bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, the child actors were not good. When you have Gregory Peck and Robert Duvall. And Robert Duvall is like, is that who I think it is?
That was his first movie.
Just think, in like 10 years, that guy's going to be the fucking consigliere for the goddamn mafia.
And I didn't know he was in there. I was like, Robert Duvall, what?
I didn't know he was in there until I'm watching and it got to the end. It was like,
He looks like it.
I was so taken aback.
And soft.
Well, they also made him look Neanderthalish. They gave him a look that they made his eyes look more inset than they really are. They did some stuff with his makeup, but like I didn't even recognize who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even recognize who it was until, what the hell just happened?
So I think it's weird that people have watched this movie without reading the book first.
You think I'm weird? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah. What? I mean, just not about this, just in general.
That's okay.
Because it's like, I would not have bothered to watch this movie without having read the book. Like,
why?
Because the book was actually one of the few things that I enjoyed. Like, that was
just like ever?
No.
Like, one of the only things I've ever enjoyed in my life.
It's the one point of happiness in my entire existence. Don't fuck with it.
The rest of these artificial structures I have around me just bring me misery.
We had to read Frankenstein.
What?
That.
Spark, no.
I'm gonna throw this in your face.
Listen, 95% of Frankenstein is just the worst.
It was terrible. And we had to read The Giver, and that book is fucking bullshit.
That book is also good.
When I read Frankenstein, I literally read a graphic novel of it.
Like, when Frankenstein was assigned to us, I didn't read it, and I looked at Spark Notes.
Yeah.
I read Frankenstein, loved every minute of it. I read Bram Stoker's Dracula and wanted to burn that thing in the fucking fire. I hated that book.
Most of Frankenstein is awful, but when the monster tells his story, it's so good. But then the rest of
it. Oh, the rest of it I skimmed. I just waited until I get to the monster story. The monster story is awesome.
The only ones I remember that we had to read 1984, which I could, at the time, I could give or take.
Oh, I like that.
We had to read Romeo and Juliet, which I adored. And we had to read The Great Gatsby, which is
one of the worst books
I've read. I would have thrown up all over that book given the chance. Because in my mind, I pictured, what's his face?
Gatsby?
Yeah. As Milo O'Shea. Who looks like a Weeble penguin.
You and your fucking Boston. I just assume that's from Boston.
No, he's actually, I think he's a British actor.
I don't know who that is.
He was in Barbarella, but he kind of looks like a taller Danny DeVito.
So, see, what?
And in my mind, when I was in high school, that was Gatsby.
Danny DeVito is not supposed to be taller.
The only book that I could not stand, you know, out of the classic books you have to read going through school, and I could not get through, no matter how hard I tried, was A Tale of Two Cities.
Never read it.
That's Melina's favorite book. I started it. Page 22. I'm like, I am done here.
I can't do it. I couldn't. Like,
never read it.
My teacher was so mad at me. She made me come into detention because I hadn't read it. I was like, look at me for this hour and look at how, you know, I'm a good reader. Like, look how far I can get. I would read just like chapters and then sit back and like, nothing.
I have no idea what I did.
Nothing.
He was paid by the word. He had no motivation to actually tell a story. He just put words on pages to get paid.
It was like, the best of times. It was the worst of times.
No. The worst of times. It was the best of times.
Fuck.
Listen, it was bad times.
This is all bad.
Things sucked. Two words.
So, one of the things that really disappoints me about this movie, though, so like there was a lot of like dead time in this movie where not a lot was happening. And I wish they had used that time and just, like, ripped it out and replaced it with the knot in the tree. Because that's, like, a big thing in the book.
But, I mean, movies made then kind of did that a lot.
Oh, come on. That's weak.
I mean,
it's not.
They're the whole knot in the tree thing where they're finding stuff in the tree and, like, communicating through the tree is a big deal in the book.
They didn't do a good job of establishing a relationship between the kids and Blue Radley.
Not at all.
Why did he feel like compelled to come save them? And then he's like petting Jem. You know,
that's creepy.
It's showing that he has like some emotional, but really the only interaction they've had was when
he fucking killed that guy for them.
Well, no, because when the kids were sneaking up on the house.
Dressed as a ham.
But the ham killed me. And whenever that guy comes out and starts cementing up the knot in the tree, like, that's a huge deal in the book.
That was his father.
Yeah, that's a huge deal in the book because his father is blocking his way of communicating with them. And they, like, that's not well established. Like, if you read the book and you saw this happening, like, you can make the connections. But if you didn't read the book and you just watched this movie, like,
fuck is happening?
I could have done without the dog scene.
The dog scene was important.
I just could have done. I'd been fine with
that. I mean, isn't that just to establish, like, the, like, kind of the desolation, like, the Not desolation, just, more like desperation.
The dog was also not at all threatening in any way.
He was limping.
He's coming right for us.
This dog's like, I don't fucking know why I'm here.
Initially, I thought it was a three-legged dog because he was like prancing to the side.
No, as soon as I saw that, I know it was coming. But I also read the book.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the other thing.
So go ahead.
Oh. The other thing that I really like is how they show Bureli being treated, because I feel like it's very important, because people like don't understand, like, he's probably just autistic, right?
But I don't and feel like they show that. Oh, he must have
gotten
that.
A vaccine then.
No, nobody from those vaccines. Like, nobody understands what autism or mental disabilities are.
But I didn't feel like they
then.
Showed that enough in the movie.
No, and they don't talk about it a lot in the book, but that's because people kept it secret. They kept it hidden and stashed
Can
away.
I say, the scene where they're standing over Jem in the bed, and they're
and he's just like tucked behind the door. I'm like,
oh, they're asking.
Yeah. They're all nice.
Wait,
that's the
so
weirdest
creepy.
Thing.
And they're asking Scout who saved them, and then she's like, he's there. And then they, like, it's just, that was scarier to me
so
than the entire, what is that movie we just watched?
Nightmare on
yes.
Main Street.
I jumped. I was like, ah!
Hold on. And the weird thing is, like, she's been facing that direction the whole time.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, who's this fucking monster in the room?
Why didn't she just say, well, Boo Radley saw him? It was like this really weird reveal.
Well, it was such a long interview.
She didn't really know what he looked like, though.
Well, and she couldn't see anything from the ham costume.
That was the and I like he's like leading her around from the top. I know,
I was like, I was just imagining somebody doing that to me. I'm like, you're pressing this down.
She had like undies on underneath. I'm like, dude, it's 1936 Alabama. Take the damn ham off.
It's Halloween.
But
it's dark out.
Let's talk about another thing that is not mentioned in this movie very well. That ham costume saved her life. The
ham Boo Radley
at the door.
How did that ham costume save her life? I think Boo Radley saved her life.
No, no, no. The guy tries to stab her. The ham costume is made out of paper mache over chicken wire, so the knife can't get past the chicken wire.
Science.
That's how they find out
talk.
That he tried to stab.
They didn't establish the fact that he brought the knife. Like,
yeah.
No, they don't talk about where the knife comes from. Like
I didn't even see a knife until he said something.
Yes.
They purposefully obfuscated so much that I had to watch that scene twice, and I still was confused about exactly what happened. To me, what it looked like was the person who attacked them was the person that also saved their life. Like,
because then you're like, did he have hairy arms, or who's the hairy arms guy?
There's this weird disconnect of where everybody's actually framed in the scene.
Yeah,
that people at some point switched positions because they weren't in the same place anymore. So the person that was coming from
then Jem ended up in the ham costume. It was like, what the fuck is going on?
And every time Jem was like, shh, I hear something, and she just dip. Just punch that child. All right,
so
you
can. She's got her ham armor on.
Oh,
it's like
+2
to your.
They
made
movie.
Her such a fighter. Why didn't she like?
She beat the fuck out of every kid in school.
Why didn't she just turn that into the ham ram? You know?
Yeah, ham ram.
Little head down and just foam.
I loved how she was like, "Get up! She's in a ham. She's literally in a ham. Give her a break."
So the highlight of the movie was the ham forever.
I like that it said ham on it.
Because if it didn't say ham on it, it could just be a big turd.
If it didn't and you didn't know it was a ham, you wouldn't have known it was a ham.
I forgot she was the ham. I knew she was something.
Well,
I knew she was
in
some sort of Halloween costume, but I couldn't remember what she was.
It's so strange to me how much of this book you remember.
Yeah, because I remember none of this book.
I remember...
It was the best thing ever.
This is one of very few required readings that I had through school that I actually enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed most of my required readings.
I don't like reading.
Except The Great Gatsby.
I can't name
The Great Gatsby is the
one.
Worst book ever written.
I could not
Second
say.
Worst book ever written.
Again, 1984, I could take it or leave it. Yeah.
Movie
Animal
was decent.
Farm, I guess, is the only other one that I enjoyed, and that was...
Don't you bring Orwell into this.
Animal Farm.
I think we, and I don't remember which one, but I know at one point we had to read Kurt Vonnegut.
But Wars I like Carbonics all those books, good, so I don't. Yeah. I don't remember which one it was, but I read a lot.
Slaughterhouse Five and Breakfast for Champions.
I haven't read both of them are great.
You should. Both of them are great.
I did not like how passive Atticus was, because I would have just beat the fuck out of that guy that spit on him.
Whoa.
But then, oh, like,
that would not have helped anything.
But that's his character's strength.
Yeah.
Strength is in my arms.
Okay, the other lawyer, sitting there with his leg up on the chair, I'm like,
this is law, and this is order.
So disrespectful.
The other lawyer's tie was on backwards the whole time.
I missed that. I was too busy being upset with his leg being up. I'm like, can someone just hit him?
It's to establish...
Smarmy little bitch.
It's to establish that the other lawyer knows that the jury's rigged, and he doesn't actually give a shit because it's a black man on trial. Like, he doesn't care.
So, what was the guy that was sitting next to the judge right in front of the two bailiffs? The guy that was leaning back in his chair the entire time. He was seriously on two legs of his chair the entire time they
was
showed
he the
him.
One riding the...
No, he was just sitting there.
He was a cameraman.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on break. I'm like, well, we need to shoot this scene. No. Just shoot it.
I'll put it on
some overalls. We're good.
I'll put on an old-timey costume. You just fucking shoot me. It's fine.
Just shoot it now. I'm not even changing.
I'll get my SAG card out of this bitch.
So this movie was a complicated roller coaster for me. So we read the book. It was before I left grade school, and then we watched the movie. So, like, rewatching it, like, the movie is aimed at children, which is the creepiest part about the fucking movie that we have not talked about yet.
It's a YA story. It would totally be considered a YA story.
This is what I think is, like, this is the actual aim for children, not like the kitschy shit that we have now.
Because it's from Scout's point of view, so you're seeing everything.
Yeah, but it deals with murder, it deals with rape, it deals with Atticus shooting that fucking dog.
Racism.
Yeah. Racism. It also deals
with... Institutionalized racism.
Institutionalized racism. Fucking, turning someone with a mental illness into a social pariah. There's some weird gender stuff that happens in the middle. Like,
lynch mobs.
So there's a fuck ton of, like,
I thought
they
were
level...
all going to show up in Sheets. I actually was surprised they didn't.
No, that didn't happen until the 50s.
Yeah, you're
I'm pretty sure this movie was set in the 30s.
36.
Yeah.
It was...
Like
it
34
was...
to... Or 35 to 37, something like that.
So
30, it's supposed 32, to be a three-year period.
So
no,
regardless,
it's
I mean,
a year and a half.
There's a ton of adult content in this movie that is for children.
Well, yeah, you see that a lot. Like, you could see that in Animaniacs. In Animaniacs, there's a scene
but
where,
there's nothing... Know. Like, Animaniacs is at least partially entertainment.
They,
like,
they
it,
drop the N-bomb and, right? They talk about, and talk about rape.
They talk about fingering Prince.
That's yeah, but that's like rape. a cutesy little joke that they throw in. It's
that's
like
a,
really
that's
cute.
That's a nod to adults.
Right.
Yeah.
That's completely different from... This black man raped a pure white woman.
Yeah.
And now... And,
like, the biggest crime that this black guy commits is he says that he feels sorry for a white woman, and everyone is aghast. Like, those are some high-level concepts that are introduced to children via these... So this is where I think the movie falls apart, in that the perspective of the children is used as a crutch to get kids into it. But then there is no distinction between the kid part of the movie and then what are very adult parts of the movie. And there's no, like, subtle transition or introduction into those things for children. No.
It's telling a story purportedly through the lens of the children's eyes, but it's not. There's scenes
right.
that take place without the children present.
And the problem is, the problem with the movie is that it knows that it has this problem. There's, like, Atticus even has a quote where he's like, I can't keep the badness in the world from you even though I want to, right? So he's actually talking about all the horrible shit in the movie that the kids have to deal with. So they knew that there was no way for them to actually make this transition from the kids to this horrible shit. So they talked about it and then just moved on.
Well, that's...
And then they kind of limp through the story
it's
where...
It's part of the book's problem, too.
Like, They show weird scenes like the end of the trial where all the people in
the stands
stand up and it's like, you need to stand because your daddy's walking through here.
But he
and it's like,
even
it's like,
up
what
at
it,
them or anything,
yeah,
or?
He shows no respect back to them.
No.
And there's not, there's very little in the way of a clear reason for them to respect him other than the fact that he tried.
Well, I mean, that's probably a lot more than they were getting just
so
in
that's
general.
The huge deal. But not only did he try, like, he really tried. He did his best. He doesn't look up at them because he feels defeated as he's walking out.
Right. But if this is a story from the point of view of the children and focused on the children, there should have been more to the child and more about
because really Scout he didn't even know the kids were up there because he never once glanced up.
Yeah, pulling Scout into it instead of just saying, you know, slap her on the head and say, "Fucking get up, show some respect."
Well, this is part of what I think is one of the book's strengths is there's no happy ending. Like, that's the best introduction to children. Like, you are not going to get a good resolution to these problems. Deal with it.
Yeah.
The book also goes on to explain more why they're standing up and showing their respect and stuff. But
you know what? There was so much downtime, though, is that they could have done more and given us a little more to show us why.
No.
Because as somebody who has only seen the movie, I don't have the benefit of the book.
Yeah.
And this is where...
Benefit's a strong word.
I don't have the background material that the book is presented that you guys have and know and are bringing to the story. I have none of that. So, and if the movie doesn't present it to me, then the movie can't stand on its own.
No, I completely agree with you. I think this is a good movie, but the movie cannot stand on its own. Like, if you just saw this movie, there are a bunch of confusing parts.
Like, because there are.
Like,
I don't know that they're confusing. Like, I don't get confusing, but there's... Like definitely fill in areas.
There's parts unclear. That jump around. There's parts that jump around, and there are scenes that happen in the movie that it's like.
I know there's something. I kind of think
that I understand why the scene was in here, but if it wasn't in here, I don't think it would have mattered. Like the shooting the dog scene. I keep coming back to that because honestly, that scene meant nothing. If that scene wasn't there, I would not have lost anything.
So that scene was to earn respect. Of Jim.
But he shot the dog.
Yeah.
But then he learns that his dad is the best gunman.
Is the best marksman. The book goes into further detail saying...
You know what? Because that was close enough that I could have shot him.
Because Jim says... Right before, they say something like, we thought that was all he was good at.
Yeah.
I don't remember even what they were saying. But then she says something like, until, and then it leads into that scene... And the guy's like, "Didn't you know your daddy's the best gun in the West?"
But I mean, that was the sheriff, was it not?
Yeah, that was the sheriff.
Because all that tells me is you're the sheriff and you can't shoot a dog who's like 5 feet in front of you.
The problem was it was so weirdly, and this is, I think this is a failing of the film.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that there was no threat. There was no... pressing reason that he had to take that gun and in that moment shoot that dog.
I just assumed that the dog was rabid.
The dog was rabid. That was the thing.
Okay. But they could have presented
that
better.
But Cal is like, it's coming right down here and it's still...
the dog's like three blocks away.
They didn't have CG then.
I also think that this was a bigger deal then when they didn't understand what rabies was.
Well,
this was before the cure for polio.
Okay, but I think you could have made a more imminent threat. The dog is coming after one of the children. Actively coming after one of the children.
But I think that... Okay, so I feel like we're talking a lot about the gun and the shooting the dog and missing the obvious parallel to Atticus puts down the dog, which is a danger to the community. Later, they shoot the black guy.
Yeah.
And what they are going to put on the table as protecting society... It's a confusing mishmash of messages for the children, which is, I think, the entire point of the scene. Like, there are times in which we put down the dog to protect people, but later the same reason is used and distorted and corrupted and given as the reason to the children, and they have to deal with what is going on here.
But if that was the point, that's not at all what I got out of the scene from the movie.
Yeah, I didn't get
that. Because there wasn't...
The way it was filmed, the way it was presented, to me, it was random.
I understand that they told me that the dog was rabid, or that the dog was dangerous and coming right at him. But that's not at all how it looked. It looked like, hey, you could probably shoot this gun. Yeah. I probably can. Oh, now I need to take my glasses off.
Just throw them on the ground. What the fuck is happening with that?
Yeah, that bugged the shit out of me. Why didn't you just put them in? Yeah. Why didn't you just take them off and put them in your shirt like every other person with glasses?
My other thought is, if he is, he's defending Tom Robinson. He's defending someone who hasn't, who didn't do anything. This dog technically hasn't done anything. So wouldn't he have kind of, the dog hasn't, because the dog was supposed to be going after him.
In the book, it's much more descriptive. The dog charges, he drops his glasses because the dog starts to charge as he's trying to take them off.
Then
he's like,
they needed to retrain that dog.
And this one, casually chucks his glasses.
Listen, I'm not going to fault the movie for a shitty portrayal of a rabid dog,
but that was that scene is just an example to point as
they pulled the dog with the string.
Yeah, you can tell the dog fall.
It was pretty obvious that dog was yanked.
This was before PETA, but also they didn't shoot a dog on the movies. That's
pretty progress.
Pulling the leg probably still hurt though. I mean
that was a real yelp, but the dog let out.
But that just showed that was one example of how they just kind of shortcutted things because this scene was in the book and it was meaningful in the book, so we need to put it in here. But it didn't carry over the meaning from the book, and they didn't try to give the explanations.
There was more dialogue in the book from that woman telling Jem about
holograms. Exactly.
Yeah, Jem about how Atticus, when he was a kid, would shoot 12 rounds and complain that he only killed 11 birds. You'd complain about wasting ammo. Like he was. About how he's a really good shot. Yeah.
Well, there was also that story that she told.
Yeah.
Well, he was talking about you can shoot blue jays, but you can't.
Yeah, don't kill a mockingbird.
Right.
Just send to kill a mockingbird. And then Scout brings it around full circle at the end. Although, I didn't. So, the reason why the sheriff doesn't want this, like, to deal with the real story was he didn't want people to. Like,
go after
praise him. Boo Radley? Is that what he was saying?
No, it was kind of like...
Thrusting Boo into the spotlight would have been so bad for him.
Boo Radley doesn't want to deal with people.
He can't.
I mean, he's already got
it's
the stigma.
Not so much he doesn't want to.
He's already got the...
Because basically, the sheriff is like,
they're just
him
going
be.
To assume that this guy murdered that other guy.
Yeah.
Like, the self-defense part
of it. Out of you cold think blood. Because the way I found from the sheriff was that they believe the story, but that he...
That's going to be a hard sell for everybody else, though.
They would... No, that... The sheriff was saying that they would, like, be bringing him cakes and, like...
Yeah, they'd be praising him for taking out the murderer.
Some people would be praising him. Some people would not be.
I kind of left before the movie finished.
It was, like, 2 minutes. You couldn't sit for two more minutes?
No. I couldn't, because 2 minutes of this movie is 8 hours in real time.
The other big thing is that the sheriff just saw the justice system completely fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he has no faith in it. He doesn't want to bother Arthur with it. Like, he doesn't care. He just wants to... He looks at it as... He knows exactly what happened. The murderer's been killed. That's fine.
Yep.
It's not like Boo Radley's going to say anything about it.
Yeah. Here's the real question. Why the fuck is Ool hanging outside the fucking, like, the black people's house?
All the time.
All the time! Every time Atticus shows up there, that guy is there. And, like...
Are they neighbors?
They are.
I mean, no, they live somewhat close to each other, because What's-His-Face has to pass their house, but not next door. Like, I mean, that's not... People didn't live next door to each other.
It's obviously drunk stumbling distance.
Yeah, like, he's always
drunk stumbling
there
through
when
the
Atticus
woods.
Is there. Like, he doesn't know Atticus is going to show up. Like, Atticus is tweeting about it when he leaves.
I'm tweeting. LOL, guys. Going to...
So, like, I have to say that he's just always there. He's just always hanging out.
Yeah.
Atticus also, Finch, mayor of...
I mean, this is just...
It was
maybe,
old enough Foursquare was probably a thing.
Maybe a point... I mean, I realize that rationality isn't this guy's strong suit, but hey, when I just killed your son, maybe not hang out by myself in front of this house that has a bunch of black dudes just standing around at the porch that just found out that this guy died.
No.
Maybe not just hang out
there. He's got Zimmerman-like syndrome. Like, he feels invincible. He just got a black guy tried.
Well, he gets stabbed.
He successfully beat the crap out of his daughter.
Yeah, he
got away with that.
It's the same thing that... I can't remember Zimmerman's first name.
George.
George. Yeah, that guy who has now, like, held pointed guns at multiple people and has still not gotten arrested for some reason.
Like, oh, well, he keeps getting arrested, but then he's got like 8 mugshots.
Yeah, like it's that same syndrome. Like he feels invincible, like he can bend the courts.
No, he literally said that. Like that's Zimmerman
I was saying the guy in the movie whose name I can't remember.
Yule.
It sounds like such a shitty name. That's why I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
It is.
There that's are some good names stabbed. In this though. I feel like I think Calpurnia is a good name. I think Atticus is a really great name. Scout isn't her real name.
Was it Jean Louise?
But I think it's a cute nickname.
I thought what they were going to do is they were doing something clever with Scout.
He was James Atticus, that's why.
I thought they were going to do something real clever with her. Like, they made her super androgynous. So, like...
Ooh, Jem?
No, Scout.
Scout.
So that they, like, any child could see themselves as that person. But then in the middle, they put her in that dress, and it's, like, real weird... Like,
first day of school. Other thing was Jem's the only one wearing a tie. Because I expected all the children.
Yeah, everyone else was wearing overalls.
Yeah, you fucking see him.
He's like
his dad's a lawyer.
Poor. Yeah, like listen, in 3 years that kid's gonna be banging every chick in school. All right, he needs to put on a fucking tie.
But when you find out from
he was 12 and 13.
He dies young.
He was 6 and she was 2.
Jem.
Yeah, Jem.
And now she's 6.
Jem's dead.
Or sorry, Scout is a huge tomboy, and like being a girl, it was like her brother's insult to her. So she was like,
everybody's insult.
Yeah.
To every
girl. I just saw an episode of Facts of Life that dealt with the same thing.
Why are you still watching that?
Yeah. Logo.
What the fuck is Logo?
Logo TV.
Isn't that
the
gay and lesbian channel?
What is going on?
On different times in the weekend.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Nope, never seen it.
There was
last week we recorded 2 episodes.
I know.
For real and for true.
We're all in the same hangout. Except for Austin.
Yeah, it just happened.
Awkward.
I don't think Austin's old enough to be in that hangout yet.
Oh. Oh look,
I'm not though.
I know that it's like that's what the entire thing is about, but I still get so like uncomfortable when just completely like unchecked racism like is being portrayed at any time. It's just like I just feel so like gross about it. I don't know. Yeah. I'm so uncomfortable like when they're, you know, the black people are like going up to they're separated, they're up in the balcony seats and
yep.
I mean, I think to show the level of comfort everyone had for the institutionalized racism,
right.
I think it's valuable. I think I have value in showing this movie to my kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's...
Well, yeah, no, and I think that level of...
the parts that are missing from the movie. So
I think that level of discomfort is, like, it's useful.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
This is why black people still feel afraid around authority figures.
Oh,
because
this
they
not
because
this
I mean, there's more to it than that.
This is a big part of it, and these kinds of things really happen. This isn't just
a lot.
The problems in this movie still exist. Like institutionalized racism.
Oh,
like,
whoa.
No, it doesn't go to a trial now.
Shit.
It's much faster just killing them without the trial.
The dog shooting scene, it's scary true.
So foreshadowing.
Fuck.
But not for the movie.
Oh, you have a tail light out, you're going to jail, and you're going to mysteriously die.
What the fuck? Listen, I watched this really good video on Facebook about, like,
that seems so
history and race, and, like, them specifically pointing out, hey, you guys, this shit was only 50 years ago. Like, this type of crap, only 50, like...
There are people alive who went through it. Right.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people.
Just, like,
not like, just, it isn't just all, like, all oh, let's go talk to, you know, great uncle, what's his
I
name, who lived, yeah, yeah, who lived through this insane time. It's like a lot of people
yeah.
still remember this shit.
The riots in St. Louis?
That happened
a year ago.
One year
ago? Well, not the Ferguson ones. The ones where, I can't remember. They actually started it. There's a lynching or something that started it.
And they actually mentioned it during Masters of Sex, I think, in the second season.
Dude, whoa, what the fuck?
Masters of Sex is
Masters and Johnson.
The Showtime series about Masters and Johnson. That all took place in St. Louis.
Okay.
They did their sex studies, and that all happened in St. Louis. So, like, the TV show, it's a good TV show, and they also make a ton of St. Louis references that are.
And there was also that stuff in the 60s where the military was spraying.
The St. Louis stuff is.
The stuff about them isn't.
That stuff in the 60s where the military was spraying a biological weapon into the slums in St. Louis in the black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And telling people, oh, it's just fine. Like, no. Like, a lot of those people have cancer now.
A lot of people have cancer now. Wow. Yeah. For a lot of reasons.
But like, this, there's a huge population in St. Louis now who has... There's, like, in a few neighborhoods, it's, like, a 100% rate of cancer. Like, it's ridiculously high. And it's because of that shit and radioactive material.
And do not talk to Molina about this.
No, I'm not going to.
Should just save everyone the hassle.
No. That's what she did for...
Oh, really?
Professionally. Defended insurance companies against claims.
Wow.
Mostly for mesothelioma and asbestos.
Yeah. So is she on the side that doesn't believe this happened, or she believes it happened and that it's...
No. I mean, she's incredibly well-read about the subject.
She knows it's happened, and she hated that she had to.
But she was paid to defend it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well. She's the inverted Atticus Finch.
She's the bad guy in every Lifetime movie.
Twirling her mustache in the corner.
Which is why she quit, probably.
Because she was growing a mustache?
if it was one of these, I'd say keep it.
Well, I mean, in the evil dimension, it's goatees. I forgive your lack of Star Trek knowledge this time.
Sorry.
In the evil dimension, I don't have a goatee.
Maybe this is the evil you and you killed the good you.
Maybe.
Or maybe this is the darkest timeline.
Don't mind that locked door.
That spider.
Is that a mosquito?
One of your games. Yeah, don't eat it.
Yeah. So,
was it playing on it?
So I don't know. I enjoyed this movie. I wish it cut out some silence and put in
more rattling.
Had more content.
I wish it had gotten rid of children.
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing a remake of this movie. I think in the hands of a modern director,
they would add all the parts that should have been added to the other one,
like Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Oh god.
That dog would have just fucking exploded.
Boo Radley's going to be a fucking giant Godzilla like
creature.
That's
the problem, cuz
Scout is now 18 and stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or she's still 6, but stacked.
Now, Scout, you can't dress like a slut for the first day of school. But, Dad, I got this micro mini for the boys. Man, I could go so late.
I could fight so much better in this. And then she's like,
oh, the housekeeper's Ronda Rousey. Yes. Scout grows up to be Ronda Rousey.
That would make the story so much better.
That's the story.
Because didn't she pop Gem on the back of the head at one point?
And she beat the shit out of like a bunch of kids in school.
You're talking about Scout?
No,
or
Calpurnia.
She kind of gave Scout a little what for.
Yeah.
What's
your house guest?
He's a house guest.
He wants to eat the tablecloth. You let him.
I love
now
that character.
Get out of here.
The character's great. I was trying to think of anything else that was a huge thing that was missing from the movie that was in the book, but I think that's everything.
The gay orgy was cut out.
Yeah.
Typical straight agenda.
That was also cut out in the censored textbook. Like the school edition of the book, you gotta get.
Did you have a school edition of the book?
No.
Let's say public schools are fucking weird. Catholics are all about the sex in the books.
I know. I've read the Bible. Well, not the whole thing. I've read parts of the Bible that I was told to read in religion class.
The sexy parts.
Let's talk about Job.
Psalms.
Let's not talk about religion. Get back to
listen,
about
Jonah was swallowed by that giant fish, and I think we all know that's a metaphor for a vagina.
Okay.
I mean, am I joking? Because I'm kind of not.
That's weird.
Why? The entire Bible bedevils women.
Yeah.
There are very few positive females in the Bible. Most of them are there to just corrupt men.
How else do you keep the power structure?
I know little to nothing about the Bible.
That's a great question.
That's so. Fine.
Gregory,
but I will spout my religious view.
Regardless.
Gregory Peck's 9-minute summation speech was nailed in one take.
At one point, he like scuffed the floor to sound like he farted, and I can't imagine like he was like, man, do I have to do this whole fucking thing again? But then I just left it and just rolled with it. I was like, that's the way to do it.
Film's expensive. Or it was.
The director apparently just realized that he's like, retakes suck. We're just going to go with it.
That's actually part of the trivia.
Tony, it's like I read the trivia.
Except it was more about the child actors than...
Gregory Peck was the child actor.
Yeah. The director learned quickly not to rely on excessive takes as he found that the more takes that were required, the less spontaneous and natural his child actors became.
Yep.
Yeah, no shit. We saw that.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, I know that courtroom was like a real courtroom, and you know it was fucking hot in there with all those people in there the whole time.
Why didn't they just crank up the AC?
Because this was not
1962.
Robert Duvall stayed out of the sun for 6 weeks and dyed his hair blonde.
Stayed out of the sun. That's pretty cool.
You know, Bobby D, I do the same thing for 6 weeks out of the year. It's
longer. 6 weeks out of the year?
Yeah.
I stayed out of the sun for most of the year.
No, I mean, that's the worst of the summer.
Oh, okay.
The rest of the time, the sun's either like too far away. You know what I mean.
Philip Alford told his mother that he did not want to go to the auditions for the part of Jem Finch, but when his mother told him he would miss a half a day of school, he immediately decided to go to them.
That's what's up.
That kid knows the truth of it.
His mom's like grabbing him by the front of the shirt. Listen.
You're going to fucking star in this movie, you little shit. You
star in this movie, and in 10 years, when you're fucking neck deep in poon, you come back to me, and you fucking say, Mom, you were right to make me go. I got so much stank on my hang lows because of you.
Make sure you bring a pack of cigarettes when you do.
This podcast brought to you by the soothing flavor of Camel Menthols.
Because if you're not smoking, you're gay.
Recommended by your doctor from 1950. When doctors still didn't know anything.
You can pick up your carbolic smoke ball on the way out, too.
What the fuck was the doctor's name in BSG? I blanked.
Coddle.
Doc Coddle. Fucking doing surgery with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Doc Coddle was the best. Awesome.
Like, it was so good.
Such an old, surly man.
Ashing on someone's lungs.
He did have to do surgery a lot, too. Ugh. Doc, why don't we just make you president? Ah, fuck that.
I got nothing else to say.
I'm done. Movie. I got nothing.
I'm looking at Tony Stark's butt.
It's right there.
I know.
Check it out. See, you're laughing, but there it is.
Can't make this
shit
up.
He had to wear platforms the entire time while filming or something like that.
I mean, have you seen Chris Hemsworth? The dude's a giant.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. is not.
Yeah, he's the opposite of a giant.
I would have like left him short because that would have been funnier than like to be this short guy.
Oh, short people are funny, yeah. Alex?
Yeah.
It would have been funny for him to get in this giant Iron Man suit. Like he's compensating.
They made a lot of compensation jokes.
You met Doug.
It would have just...
Who?
You met Doug at that training they had to go to with Doug in Florida.
Oh, that Doug.
Yeah.
Gently, Alex.
He's not going to hear this. I don't really care.
Yes. Dylan Thomas, Alex, go gently into that night.
No, I will not go gently into that good night.
I like 17th century poetry. I'm very well read.
I don't remember much poetry.
the more recent stuff I don't like. Like, the Raven. Okay.
But I remember The Raven.
It sounds better in... Raven's not poetry.
The Raven? Or was that a short story?
It was a short story.
I love all of Edgar Allan Poe.
He was fucking...
Are you going to cask of Amontillado?
Canterbury Tales, also
short stories. He wasn't gothy. There was no such thing as gothy back then. He was just Edgar Allan Poe.
He's just a fucking...
Frankenstein. Mary Shelley fucking
he was
invented
an
science ether fiction
ether addicted
there.
Drunk. Ugh, that's what he was.
A bad fucking book.
What? Can't have it both ways, Alex.
I'm having a hard time. I used to think that I really enjoyed a lot of books by Brad, but I can't even, like, remember anything.
I hated Frankenstein so much.
Listen, can we all agree that we're not going to talk about the only set of books that you're going to get upset about talking about?
Harry Potter?
Don't.
What?
Wait,
what? He got all twitchy there.
You didn't say disagree with.
There is no disagreement there.
Get upset talking about.
Their first one's horribly written, and they get better. They get better as they go.
The books get better as they go.
Except for the last one, which just had to be crammed together to finish all the
storylines. I just felt like they got more and more complicated as Harry is growing up.
That's the point, right?
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't feel like the quality was different.
The quality in the first book was not good.
Do you know that Harry Potter was supposed to not be the hero?
Wait, I need to get back
to... Have you read these books?
He hasn't. So no. He has not.
If you're going to bring me some half-baked Neville Longbottom theory...
Yeah, no, that's something that...
Alex, that's in the book.
Oh, is it?
That isn't like... That's okay. Not like a trivia. That is the storyline.
And I still think it would have been better if Neville would have been the boy who lived.
What books were you talking about that we're all going to get upset?
You know.
I don't know.
Dragonlance?
Yeah.
Oh. I haven't read the third one yet. I need to.
Listen, I've gotten further in Dragonlance.
The third Dragonlance book?
Yeah. The
Dragons of Taylor's Spring Dawning.
Spring Dawning, yeah.
But you know, there is a fourth book, too.
There's more than that.
There's a lot more than that, but there's a fourth book that is supposed to be a direct...
I think there's six books in that series?
There's three, and then there's Legends, which is Raceland and Caramon, which happens directly after Time of the Twins. War. Time of the Twins, Test of the Twins, War of the Twins.
I've read those.
And then there's another three-part series, which is written like years after those, which kind of just destroys every good part of all of it. So, fuck those. Nobody can use magic anymore. Because fuck that. And all of your favorite characters are about to get murdered in front of your face. And the only ones that live are the ones you hate.
Nobody using magic anymore would make D&D a lot simpler. What do you do? I'm going to hit a guy.
Sounds like Burning Wheel to me.
That's how I play D&D. Except it's a lot more glitter dust.
I love that. Oh, so many failures in a row. And then glitter dust to finish it off.
It wasn't a failure to me.
Was it a failure or a successful bluff check?
She had the best successful bluff check. She was wearing a full red dress underneath a suit of armor and talked a platoon of soldiers into thinking everything was cool.
I scored really high on that roll. really, really
she was a bard and she rolled like a 19. So
this
like
my
that,
favorite character
bards,
ever.
Bards are valuable to the party. Yeah,
that like my plus her modifier. Like they were confused, but they believed her and walked away.
So I've been working on a novel on and off for a while.
This is your clitoral hood.
Yeah, that's the one.
Nailed it.
And there is a character that is fucking full on bard. It's just
you have to go full on bard.
Got it. He is.
There's no point in playing a bard and not.
There's no half bard.
Right. There's no half
bard. Half bard is just bah.
Erd.
Erd.
No, erd sounds ridiculous. Like.
You don't have ridiculous without Erd.
You don't have ridiculous without Dick.
After Kayla playing a bard, I'm convinced that bards are amazing. Like,
or is it that I'm amazing?
Or maybe Kayla's just really good.
Bards were always amazing because they were the only character that could make shit up about the world, and then it was true. Mm-hmm. They were the only character that had actual agency in the world building. That was always their greatest power. Well, hey, I remember this thing, and now it's real. Oh, fuck. Great.
Bardic knowledge.
There was a...
fucking bardic knowledge.
But, like, if you add in, like, all the pluses that the bard gives the rest of the party, like, each to the point
the bard is great for buffing the party. Yeah, it's, like, super good.
There was a point where I was doing, like, 5 attacks a turn. You get, like, an extra +3 for each attack. Fuck! Like, that's fantastic.
I did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And I never lifted my sword.
No, you did that one time. You shot somebody in the face with a crossbow because
wasn't it you though?
What? No,
you shot him in the face.
No,
that sounds like one of our games. Me shooting Eric in the face.
It got better.
I don't know. We had just finished murdering somebody, and we were going back to town, and we were tired.
D&D.
And this random encounter of some low level like muggers showed up, and we're like, just go away. Like.
We're tired. Just go.
And then one of them shot at Kayla, and Kayla was like, oh, fuck this. And just unloaded into this guy's face. And then started playing crazy music. So we beat the shit out of the rest of them. And then hogtied some guy naked and drug him into town.
That part I do remember.
That was that was fantastic.
Yeah, because we LARPed that part.
And then he got killed by something else later anyway.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Oh. Incidentally, I also gave that guy an impromptu sex change.
What?
Because I didn't realize
was
how
that the impromptu.
I didn't realize how little health this guy had left. I had already rolled out all the damage. And like, okay, he goes unconscious after the first hit.
In the dick.
Like, okay, well, the other 42 points of damage are only to his dick. Like a beaver's tail. That's all that was.
What's that fucking name?
Oh, that... That guy was
punched
not...
him so hard in the dick that he died.
It, dick
popped, it popped out of his throat inverted.
We decided that the dick damage was non-lethal.
Non-lethal? I'm going to do non-lethal dick damage.
No, but he projectile vomited for a week afterwards.
I was not doing well.
Oh.
I've heard and read that multiple times, but I've never gotten racked and then felt nauseous.
I have.
You haven't?
Ooh.
No, like this. Listen, this is not an uncommon, unfamiliar situation for me, but like I've never been nauseous. Like, it was just like I've read the same account and heard multiple people talk about it. It's just
I've been nauseated from a graze.
What is going on? It seems like some sort of neurological situation.
The number one, very sensitive area.
The number one thing for me was like hitting the handlebars either on a bicycle or a four-wheeler.
Hold on. Yeah.
Like that impact.
Why is that a number one thing?
Like that's when I felt like nauseous from getting testicular pain. So maybe you just haven't hit them hard enough.
Alex, I went to an all-male high school. I feel like I've gone through the gauntlet.
And you have three brothers.
I have a feeling we have some testing to do in our time.
The guys had a game where they would just hit each other as hard as they could in the dick. What the fuck is wrong with
cup
people?
Cup check,
yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's okay. We didn't like.
I told this story the other day.
I've never
punched any junk. Never punched boobs.
Okay, so I'll set the story up. All right.
This is the story we missed last week.
Oh, okay.
This is probably the story I should have started with. Okay, so I had a bathroom situation the other day at work. So there's three urinals.
How much dick damage is in the story?
It's all very awkward. There's like a good 4 minutes
awkward
of awkward.
Psychological dick damage.
Psychological dick damage.
That's the worst.
So I walk in and I have to pee. So there's like
roll against your wisdom.
A wall and then the urinals. And so I round the wall.
You still take half damage.
I round the wall and there's a dude there not peeing, just standing in front of the urinal. So like in the 3 seconds it takes for me to round the wall, see this, and then walk to the urinal, I'm like, that's fucking weird. So then,
sometimes you just have to have your dick out to meditate.
Do you?
People generally don't bother you at the urinal unless it's Scott.
Yeah, so then I sidle up to the urinal and I'm like, man, it's weird that that guy is not peeing. But it would be even weirder if then I couldn't pee. So then that, of course, got stuck in my brain. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. So then I can't pee and he's not peeing. And so then, like, we're shoulder to shoulder. And we're just both standing there not peeing. So, like, the time, I'm sure it was only, like, 30 seconds. But it felt like forever. And, like, just here in my mind, like, this, like all those shots you see on TV were, like, the
30 seconds is a long time in that situation.
Where the second hand creeps along and, like, every tick is just so loud and deafening. Boom! Boom! So like, okay, so 30 seconds go by, and then like, so I'm starting to shift uncomfortably because like, there's just no resolution to this situation because I can't walk away without having peed at all, and I can't pee. So like, finally, that guy just gives up and leaves. So then I can pee. So then he leaves, He leaves, like, so I wash my hands and I walk out, and like, when you're walking down the hall, there's a window you can see outside, so I just saw this dude walking to his car, which I assume is the right course of action from that situation.
So, like, I have to leave.
He's just gotta go, he's going down to the gas station.
So then I was thinking about this later. I'm like, have I ever really had a problem with this before? So, like, the urinals at work are the, like, the white flat ones with the walls in between them.
Right.
So, like, in high school, they were not that. They were like these weird cup things, mm-hmm. and then there were no walls. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you were peeing, like you were just peeing next to a dude.
I hate those cup urinals. They always make me feel like I'm going to do something wrong. Because it's like, there's what? No good angle.
We would?
So you know, away. Alex, I've been peeing for 32 years. I'm not really sure that there's a wrong way to do it.
There's no good angle. There's too much splashback. No,
keep going.
You just let it go. Like...
That listen, Frozen like... told us.
All you had to do was sing that song in your head, you'd have been all right.
So, but the fear, the problem with peeing in those urinals was never peeing at the urinal. It was, as soon as you started peeing, like, stopping hurts, so you don't want to stop.
Mm.
But then, motherfucker, like, every dude you're pissing with, as soon as somebody stops, like, you're trapped. Like, there's nowhere for you to go, so then that dude can kick you while you're peeing, and there's just no good end to that situation. So the concern there was, am I going to get kicked while I'm peeing at this urinal? That was the concern in high school.
See,
was...
and then you have to, like, brace yourself in a weird way and kind of angle back, so if you get kicked, you don't fall forward.
Yeah, you fall forward.
But then your angle's too far back, yeah. And your aim's off.
Yeah, like, so the best was you could get on a wall, because then at least you had, like, one side where you were protected.
Wow.
A whole complicated situation.
I'm going to throw this out here. If somebody fucked with me while I was peeing, that person's getting peed on. And I will not stop until I'm done.
That well, like, seems like not, an obvious...
Yeah. That's not the game,
you just
Alex.
Turn around.
I can aim it. I'm going to go right. for the face.
Alex, that's not the game.
That's how you get ass kicked fucking game. Every day for the rest of your high school yeah. career.
Alex, that's not the game.
Because I would imagine at that point, you're on your knees in your own pee at that point.
Listen, there are what? Rules to the game. That's not in the rules.
Yeah, I would, fuck the I'm rules. Not playing the game. Because this is a dumb game.
Everybody's playing the game.
No.
It's like quarters. Did you play quarters in high school?
Yes.
No.
Did you play real quarters in high school?
No.
You got the, like, so you got...
We kept the quarters spinning, but we didn't do the no, weird, no, like, no, knuckle
no.
flipping
you made,
game.
You made the, yeah, you made the goal, and then you push no. them through, and then when somebody scored, you'd put your hand down on the table, and they would take the quarter, and they would ram it into your hand as hard as they could.
No, I did not.
So, see, like, by three or four scores, you're, I mean, you're like, you were punching a wall, you're, like, just pouring blood on the... See, you guys missed out on high school.
The way me and my friends played quarters was you spin it and you have to stop it when it's still on its side. You spin it. You
wow, apparently there's a lot of different
do it like that. Things. And then if you couldn't do it, you got boom, right side knuckles. But I could never do that like hard.
Yeah, so it was, I don't know how they did it hard.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting there, my fucking knuckles are bleeding, but I mean, my friends around me are just like, Austin, what the fuck's... What are you... I'm missing. It's like way off to the right and shit. Like,
what am I doing wrong? Why is nobody else bleeding like this?
Clearly, I think there's probably a YouTube video you need to check out.
Well, I mean, I'm also... Like, this was 16 years ago. That was half my life ago.
Spoiler, you're old.
You are so old. I just realized
this was
that
like last year.
10-year anniversary, not anniversary reunion, is coming up soon. 10.
My 15 is next year.
It's not that much more.
Your 10 years upcoming.
I'm just gonna sit here and all of you.
Your 10 years in 2007 or 2017? Sorry.
2007.
Yeah, it's 2015.
Yeah.
And 2015 is like more than halfway over.
In 2019, it'll be my 30th.
Oh, Tony.
I think my 30th was last year.
I haven't been to any of my reunions. Awesome. And don't ever
just
plan on going.
This year. No need to.
My 10 years in 10 years.
It's a rough dang. Life, guys.
The only
I'm
person.
You have a long time to wait for that. Hey, you know what that means? You got time to do something and be impressive by then. Let's start planning that for you.
Yeah, don't waste your youth.
I've already got my plan.
I'm gonna blow shit up.
I'm gonna be blowing shit up for a living. Like, fuck sorry. Everybody. I don't care if you're an astronaut. No one beats that. Yeah, astronauts might be pretty cool.
You know, Buzz Aldrin punched a guy. Because he didn't, like, he was just harassing him in a subway. He's like, you didn't really go to the moon, so Buzzard just fucking punched him.
Punched him.
My fist is gonna go to your face.
Yeah,
there's,
right.
There's YouTube videos. He's done it a couple times.
Like, yeah, I know.
The same asshole keeps, like, coming up and confronting him, like, trying to get goad him into stuff.
Yeah, he goes into punching him.
He just fucking, I guess, punches he won.
Here's the thing, though. Who's going to arrest Buzz Aldrin?
Exactly. No one. He's not been arrested for it.
Right. So, like, if someone's coming up and harassing an astronaut, you're probably just allowed to punch him in the face and everything.
He does! Yeah. This has happened multiple times repercussions.
I'm pretty sure that's part of the Boy Scout code, that if you see somebody
harassing
an astronaut.
Buzz Aldrin. No, Buzz Aldrin specifically.
Buzz, yeah. You just go up and give him a wiener tap.
Would you like to yell at the moon with me?
I walked on your face.
It's the daytime. You're not supposed to be out.
All right, Tony.
All right, next week, Chef. Week after that, Knights of Badassdom. And we'll talk about what happened in Archon.
Are we not going to LARP Knights of Badassdom?
We probably will.
Because if we are, I call Peter Dinklage. Have you guys seen the movie yet?
Nope.
No.
Well, then.
That's what the hell you guys are talking. Okay.
The Pied Piper.
I was very confused up until that point.
It looks like he's sucking a dick, but then he also has like a second dick tucked behind his ear for later. Silicon Valley. They were talking about the logo for their gun.
Oh.
They're Pied Pipers, and they fucking do the feather in his cap. He's like, he looks like he's sucking a dick, but he's got a dick behind his ear for later.
I remember that. That show's good.
That show's very good.
All right, see you guys next time.